We all have stories related to various aspects of our health. We have stories about what we're good at, what we're not good at. We have stories about ideas of how the world perceives us and how we're perceived, how we perceive the world. Today on Ask Dr. Gill, I want to discuss the stories that we have about our health and what we can do about it, and why it's important to understand these stories, even if the reality of the story is true. So stay tuned. And welcome to Ask Dr. Gill. I'm Dr. Gill Winkleman, your host, and today I'm doing a simulcast for a lot of reasons. I may be doing this more often, and you can still listen to the audio only. There's really no visuals per se today other than me, but this is an interesting experiment for me, and I'm trying this out, and we'll be hopefully having guests on the show at some point here. Today, I want to talk about the stories that we have about our health. And I'm also, at the end of the show, by the way, going to be talking about a workshop that I'm going to be doing about this and how you can sign up. This is a challenging topic. And I say that because there's an element of potential blame for a condition related to this topic. And the other element is it's all in your head. And I want to be very cognizant of that because a lot of my patients have heard this in the past and it's been very wounding to them. And that, you know, I have patients who come to me saying they saw X, Y, or Z specialist. They said nothing was wrong. It's psychosomatic. It's all in their head. And there's an element of dismissiveness there that I think is very wounding for patients and traumatizing. And that's not what I just want to be clear, that is not what I'm saying. I also am not saying that you created this, you're creating this experience because of it. But I do think that there's an importance in looking at the stories we have about ourselves as it pertains to health, but really about anything, because oftentimes the stories become the limiting factor. And what's really interesting about this as we look at the research is our minds actually and our bodies, our physiology, respond to the stories in our heads. And I think that what is fascinating about this to me is how we kind of do this unconsciously. And I'll give an example, which has to do with a book I read. I believe it was Getting the Love You Want by Harville Hendricks. What he proposes is that when we choose a partner, we are actually choosing based on the unconscious cues we get from the other person. And so we're choosing someone who is going to show up and wound us in the areas that we need healing. Now, I don't know if he's 100% true about this. And I don't know if everyone does that. I mean, I'm sure some people do and some people don't. What I do know is this, is that from an unconscious level, there are things we do pick up about people and situations. And unfortunately, we're not really taught in this society to pay attention to those. I'll give an example. I had actually been on a hike with a friend. This is a couple of years ago. And this dog got loose and attacked us. And fortunately, we were okay. My friend I ended up taking my friend to the emergency room. Her little dog was okay, fortunately, too. A couple weeks after that, I was on a different hike by myself, and this guy had a dog off leash, and the dog started running at me. And my first response was to be scared of the situation. And then I looked at the dog and realized he's actually really friendly. It was sort of interesting, and I had just read this book or read something about this unconscious aspect of things, and I was like, that's really interesting. Because I think there was probably 10,000 things that I picked up on unconsciously, and if you asked me to name them right now, there's no way I could do that. But I think I was able to get, and in both situations, my assessment was correct. The first one, dog was going to attack us, and I moved to get in the way between the dog and my friend. Don't need to go into the details of that. The second one was the dog is safe, and he just ran up and wanted some pets. And these are the things that we pick up on. And we often ignore in situations. And I would say this is true in our health situations, right? I can't tell you how many times I've had patients come to me and says, yeah, I knew that I shouldn't have eaten at that restaurant, but and I got really, really sick, but I just did it anyway, because that was what I was planning to do, whatever it is. And these stories are, you know, this is one area of the stories. The other area of the stories is the stuff that potentially can limit our ability to heal, which is, I'm never going to get better, for example, particularly when you have a chronic disease and people really give up hope a lot of times. And it's hard because some of these stories are true. Sometimes you do have genetics that are related to it. There's truth that you do have trauma. There's truth that you know, you do have an autoimmune condition. And oftentimes people feel relief when they get the label. But sometimes the label can be limiting because the label then says, this is my destiny. I'm going to challenge that in a few ways. And this is kind of the idea behind this workshop. And that is that we can move beyond in certain ways those beliefs and ideas of ourselves. I've had patients who have had a chronic condition and that everything around their lives became crux. The fulcrum of their life was their diagnosis. And sometimes that is necessary for a certain amount of time. And sometimes there are things that will limit you for sure. But I've known other patients who have diagnoses and they've gone through treatment plans and they've lived their lives. It's an interesting dichotomy. There's a particular patient I'm thinking of, probably have talked to her about her on the podcast. When I was interning with Dr. Tom, there was a patient that showed up who was talking about she had just done an Ironman. I think it was like in Kona, actually. She did really well. She was really excited and she laughed. And I said, hey, by the way, what's her diagnosis? She says, oh, didn't I tell you? I said, no. He says, she has MS, multiple sclerosis. And what was interesting is that she had basically come in a walker 4 years prior to that visit. And she was doing triathlons, not just triathlons, Ironwoman triathlons. And what was interesting, what he said was, is he said, well, the specialist at the hospital, the neurologist at the hospital, keeps doing the MRIs and they're finding more plaques on her spine, but she feels better. And so this is kind of the challenge, you know, with this is how do we find that line between the reality, but also understanding that there's a potential to change that reality. And how do we do that in a way where we're not just being consumed by trying to change it? How do we accept, what is, and at the same time that we move beyond
past, if you will.
We take a quick break. When we come back on the second half of the show, I'm going to tell you about the workshop that I'm going to be doing, and we'll talk more about this topic. So stay tuned. Okay, welcome back. I'm your host, Dr. Gil Winkelman, and you're listening to Ask Dr. Gil. And if you have any questions or comments, feel free to send an email to info@askdrgil.com or leave a comment below on whatever platform you're listening, and we'll take a look at that. So the workshop I'm going to be doing will be online. I'm still working out the details, and I'm looking at sometime in November. And it'll probably be, the first one will be a couple hour, maybe 2.5 hour workshop. And we're going to go through the topic of challenging our beliefs and figuring out how it is that we're limiting ourselves based on these ideas. And I think in the psychological realm, we see this a lot more, in that people have past. Everyone has a past. Everyone has issues that have shown up. And the question is how well can you move beyond that past and move into the present? And I think what a lot of times can happen for people, and by the way, there are physiologic studies about this as well. But what can happen for people is the thinking of the experience, consciously or unconsciously, sends signals to the sympathetic nervous system and go through all out the body. So if you get a sympathetic response where you're in fight or flight or freeze, what can happen is you will create situations in your body that are going to cause further stress. And it's not to say that the trauma didn't happen. And it's not to say that that hasn't impacted you. But the question is, how do you move beyond that and live in the present? And what I think happens to a lot of people is they hold on to, consciously or unconsciously, they hold on to past events and slights, and that just keeps replaying on some level in their system. And it's interesting because I've been in the counseling field for a very long time, and there are definitely different ways of looking at how to treat trauma. And the one that I would say is probably, and I'm talking about chronic, not acute, because acute trauma, oftentimes it's just really important. The story can be important for the healing acutely. And sometimes, and what I mean by that is that if you don't recognize what happened, then there's no way that you can let go of the experience, right? You're in a car accident, a bad car accident, And you're like, oh yeah, whatever. There's, without the recognition, you can't stop, feel, experience what it is that happened, and then let it go, let it move out of your nervous system. And I think that's what most of the research is basically pointing to, is we gain healing not through reliving the experience. We gain healing by allowing our body to release what is being held in the tissue and in the nervous system. And there are different ways of doing that. And one of the great ways that I like is somatic experience, Peter Levine's work. But this is where meditation is really helpful. This is where mindfulness is really helpful. A lot of these techniques are about just tuning into yourself. And ultimately, I think it's about being present with yourself, being present with where you're at and what that is. But I think the piece about this and where I think the workshop is going to go is we're going to look at what are my beliefs about health. What, you know, for example, you could have the belief that every time I eat eggs, I break out. And maybe that's true, maybe it's not. But I think questioning that belief allows us to then feel into our body and let that belief go. And that's a very different type of work in terms of healing than a lot of the things that I have talked about on the show. And I do this in my practice with patients often, is helping them understand what their experience is in their body. And a lot of times, you know, I think a lot of the conditions that we see, chronic conditions we see, is actually caused by being disembodied. And so this is where the questioning sometimes can be helpful, because it will get you into your body. So that's what I've got for you today. I hope you enjoyed this and hopefully like the new format. I hopefully will be doing this more regularly again now that I've kind of resettled. If you have any questions, feel free to email me, like I said, at info@askdrgill.com, and check out my website, askdrgill.com. And I look forward to seeing you next time. Take care.